A morning show from WRCO and WRCE. We're back on a Monday to talk about some great topics in the community. We have a full lineup of shows this week, and we kick it off with a real good one, Economic Equity Now. We're going to explain to you what it's all about. In the studio joining us are our members Aaron Detman, Felicia Detman, and also Dale Schultz, community members here to talk about it. We'll start on this side of the room with Aaron and Felicia. And good morning to you both.
Yep, good morning. Thanks for having us here.
So last summer, you received a card in the mail about the Patriotic Millionaires Club. What were your first thoughts, Aaron?
Yep, that's correct. And I didn't really know what that group was about or anything about them, but I saw that there was free food. And anybody that knows me knows that I like free food. So I thought, you know, we might as well go check them out. And I also looked up at their website, and I thought it looked really interesting, their ideas they had.
It's a little deceiving, though, the line, the Patriotic Millionaires Club. People that went were not all millionaires, were they, Felicia?
Correct. We have people from just all kinds of different backgrounds. I would say most of us are, you know, middle class, lower class, just general working people. Patriotic Millionaires, my understanding is they chose that name because it was initially founded by millionaires who felt that they wanted to make sure they were contributing at the same rate the rest of us were. But then the catch-22 is we get a lot of people thinking, oh, well, you need to be a millionaire to be a part. I promise, Aaron and I are not millionaires. We're school teachers. You don't have to be a millionaire.
And so this is an offshoot of that, Economic Equity Now. Does that better explain the group,
maybe? Yeah, I feel like it does, because that's really what we're all advocating for. The millionaires, those of us who are middle class, low income, we're all advocating for the same thing. And that's just economic equity across all of the different social economic statuses.
You both work in the school system, Aaron. Certainly, school systems are having their challenges now.
Yep, they are. There's been a lack of funding for quite a while nationwide. And that's just part of, you know, wanting to make sure that everybody pays their fair share so that there is money for not just schools, but also repairing roads and other infrastructure.
That was part of your motivation to continue with the group, I'm guessing, isn't it?
Yes, partially. And, you know, we drive across Highway 14 almost every day. So, and I went to one of those sessions about, you know, their proposal to repair Highway 14 and repave it. And it's still, I think, 2 years out, and that's 2 years too long.
Okay. So what's the group been doing? You have some goals and some things to move forward?
Yeah, we want to just raise awareness about economics. That's kind of the sole purpose of our group, and try and figure out, you know, what's a fair tax rate for everybody? You know, what makes sense for everybody? What's a fair share to pay for everybody, whether you make $15,000 or $100,000 or $1 million or more than $1 million?
Okay. So you're doing that, you're meeting with that, and it's a group that, again, bipartisan. If it was a Democratic, Republican, or independent group, you probably wouldn't be involved in it, would you?
Correct. Yeah, it's bipartisan. Doesn't matter what your political affiliation is. And I think that's an important selling point is, you know, it's just a single topic that we're concentrating on is economics, and especially taxes to go with that, and just trying to figure out what makes the best sense for the country.
Certainly better funding for schools is something that is near and dear to you, Felicia.
Yes, absolutely. So I'm speaking just as a citizen right now, not on behalf of any district or any, you know, school district or anything. But as a teacher, I've been a teacher for 7 years. I've been working with children since I was 18 years old. So it's been a hot minute. And I've never met a family who is not working extremely hard, but I have met many, many families who, regardless of how many overtime hours they put in, how many jobs they have, they just can't make ends meet. And that does not sit right with me, especially when you're looking at children who shouldn't bear the brunt of that burden. And a lot of my kids, I teach kindergarten, a lot of them are very aware of the socioeconomic status of their families. And, you know, if we were to get some of this economic equity that we're talking about, more equitable taxes for everybody, what that would lead to is free and reduced lunches for all students, not just low income, but everyone. That would remove barriers for all families and be supportive for everyone. It would lead to better mental health services for families and children, better housing opportunities, possibly stipends for childcare. Like, this is something that, as a teacher, is near and dear to me because I just feel that as a community, we should really be serving our families. And I see this as a wonderful opportunity to advocate for that.
Have you checked out other countries and things like, you know, other ideas that they have and how other countries do it?
Well, I know that in a lot of European countries, free reduced lunch, that's not even a discussion. Students just get lunch at school. They get a balanced lunch at school. They get a healthy lunch at school. They have health care for children and their families. It doesn't matter what your socioeconomic statuses are. And these are very, very common things that, again, if we had equitable taxes, we could see here. And it's not a partisan issue. It's just making sure that we're providing for our kids.
Yeah. And other states also have started free and reduced lunch for all students, for all school-aged students. And I think Massachusetts is one that accomplished that, you know, goal. And they did that with just a 2% tax on their millionaires, anybody whose income is a million or over. And there's a handful of other states that also have those programs going.
That was when the discussion first started with the Millionaires Club. That was one of the things that I think struck me was the fact that these millionaires, they want to be taxed more. It's, you know, I mean, that kind of surprised me. Did it surprise you?
Yeah, it did surprise me. And you know, there are some of them that say, you know, they feel they're not paying enough. They say, right. You know, it's kind of like diminishing marginal utility. They say, you know, yes, if you're not making much money, you know, $100, that's a ton of money. If you find $100, you're like, oh my gosh, I'm rich. Yeah, I say that whenever I find a quarter on the floor, jokingly, but you know, that first $100, like, that can buy a lot. But if you have $1 million coming in every year, maybe you don't care quite as much about that $100. Sort of like if you're eating cake, that first slice of cake tastes really, really good. But if you're eating 10 slices of cake, you don't quite care as much about that cake anymore.
There are districts in the area that are going to referendum tomorrow, and some that are going to be going later this year, maybe early next year. And that's another challenge that you see, too, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And that's a nationwide challenge. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a challenge in Wisconsin for sure, but pretty much funding anywhere hasn't really kept up with inflation. And, you know, inflation's a big topic right now. You look at inflation this past year was 4.1%. The year before was at 8%. Year before that was at 4.7%. I know schools, our Wisconsin legislature and governor, last year they passed a $350 increase per student for school funding for Wisconsin. But if you look at that, and that it's a little bit different percentage for every school district, but for Richland School District, that's about a 2.9% increase in funding from the state. But if you start thinking about inflation, well, inflation was 4% this year. So that's still a 1%, you know, funding gap that we need to solve. And last year, inflation was at 8%. So that's a 5% funding gap that needs to be solved. Year before that, you know, there wasn't any increase in state funding. So you look at that, and that's a 10%, you know, funding gap in just the past 3 years. So how do school districts, you know, across the state, or even across the nation, they're also facing funding gaps too. How do they solve that? You know, do you just cut 10% of your teachers, 10% of your aides, 10% of your janitors and cafeteria workers? Like, that's really tough to do. And there's also some fixed costs like utilities or transportation. You can't really negotiate those rates. So then you need to find even more cuts somewhere else. So it's just tough. You know, when state aid doesn't keep up, you know, with inflation, trying to figure out how do you make it work, and year after year after year. And that's why, you know, there just needs to be more state aid. But how do we get more state aid? Well, there needs to be more money coming in from somewhere.
You, as a member of the group and Economic Equity Now, what are some things that you can do, or what are some strides you're looking at in the future?
Well, one of the big points of the group is just saying, you know, increase taxes on millionaires. You know, we say, where does that funding come from? And we talked about, you know, diminishing marginal utility. And also just, you know, maybe even not increasing taxes on millionaires, but just closing all of the loopholes that millionaires can take advantage of, where they aren't even paying the same tax rate as many middle-class citizens. And a lot of those loopholes revolve around stocks. And, you know, investing money in stocks, that's something that many people can't even get access to because they don't have any extra money laying around. If you don't have any money, extra money laying around, if you're using 100% of your money to pay rent and to pay for food, pay for childcare, well, you can't invest any money in stocks. And then you can't use any of the tricks that millionaires can use because, you know, they don't even have any money in the stock market.
Mm-hmm. Many times they have people working for them that are looking at the ways to get around taxes too, right?
Yeah, that's right. Millionaires, they have accountants. They have people telling them, you know, they can pay someone $60,000 to tell them how to save millions of dollars. It makes sense for millionaires.
Sure. Also in the studio, we've kept him quiet long enough. Dale Schultz here, former state senator, represented our area since the early 1980s. And good to have you back behind a microphone, my friend.
I'm delighted to be here. And I just want to say, you've just heard an example of Richland Center's future. Thoughtful, intelligent community members who care about, you know, the long-term well-being of the greater Richland area. And that's what this whole effort in many ways is about. You know, Patriotic Millionaires began by raising money to hire lobbyists in Washington, D.C. to try to change the tax code to, you know, get it, you know, more progressive instead of the direction that it had been going where the millionaires were paying less and less taxes. They found out that it was too easy for, you know, the entrenched political class in Washington, D.C., in both political parties, to blow them off. So they came upon the idea of, why don't we put our investment into local communities with ordinary people who struggle every day and help them be more effective? And that's really what they did in the first meetings, is talk a lot about tax policy. Yes, a lot of it was very familiar to me, but I dealt with it for a long period of time. But I dare say virtually everybody else in the room, it was new subject material. But I was impressed by how quickly people caught on. The discussions we had were eye-opening. Many people had very different ideas, but we kept working together, and we did reach conclusions. And that, I think, is the dream of the Patriotic Millionaires. You know, as local citizens, we're concerned about taxes, but there's another side of this that we haven't talked about yet, which is the distribution of the taxes we now collect. You know, the last couple of years, Richland Center has suffered a lot, particularly because of the closing of the campus, because of the drought, and you know, we need help. And I think our leadership has tried to communicate that, but you know, what were we met with here in town? Representatives who came, listened, but refused to talk to us. And that really leaves a bad taste in people's mouths because they want to be involved. They want to be listened to. I learned a long time ago that when you get in a meeting with ordinary citizens, you listen very carefully, and then you repeat back to them what they said to you so they know you got it. And then you open the door to a dialogue back and forth. And I think also in recent years, we've seen political local government meetings turn into just awful situations where people are screaming at each other, yelling at each other. They're totally impolite. They're just the worst behavior ever. Well, we'd like to believe here in Richland Center, in the greater Richland area, that we're thoughtful, well-mannered, civic citizens who understand that to be heard, we have to communicate in an intelligent way. We have to be respectful of everyone, and we have to open the door to a dialogue. So, to that end, you know, what we're working on right now is forums. We had our first one with the mayoral candidates. I think both candidates would say they appreciated what they got out of it. There was nobody acting out or being rude. Both candidates had a chance to say what their candidacy was about. They answered questions straight away as they were thrown at them, and they weren't always easy questions, but they answered them nonetheless, and we're hoping we can repeat that with each of the candidates running for the state legislature and Congress. And hopefully it'll catch on and other people will start acting the same way, and the general public will get, you know, more information. And we appreciate the radio station and the newspaper for covering our activities. And we invite everyone to come down and participate. This isn't a closed sort of proposition. We are going to be agitating because we think there is a need to make change. You're going to see some signs going up locally suggesting that we think we deserve a little better share of resources and a little fair taxation. And we'd like to think that most of us in Richland County are of kindred spirits. I don't know a lot of people in our area that are making $100 million a year. You know, there's something wrong when the three top executives in corporation after corporation makes more money than they pay in taxes. That just doesn't sit well with me or an awful lot of other people. And we want to get some sanity back to our taxation system. And I think if we do that, everybody will be happier.
You went to the first meeting last summer. Were you reluctant at first to go? Or
yeah, I think I kind of was. But what got me there was I was so impressed by the owners of this station who purchased it from Ron and their approach to the community. And I said to them right up front, I said, you know, please don't screw up our radio stations because we really like them. We want to make certain that they continue to provide the vital service that they do. And so when this was something that was important to Sage, I said, you know, I'm going to go just out of respect. And, you know, that's all it took. Once I was there, I was kind of hooked. I was just so impressed by people I didn't know locally that I've gotten a chance to know. And you know, I just have a whole new crop of friends.
Where do you go from here then in terms of, you know, I think one of the whole goals is to be heard. Do you try to reach out to representatives from the area or how do you look
yep.
at it?
If, you know, it's election season, so we're going to be, you know, soliciting everybody. We have, I think, all but our current congressmen, the people running for Congress, have said, yes, we'll come and talk to the group. I'm hoping that Congressman Van Orton will come. And, you know, we want to know that the people representing us are working on our behalf, all of our behalf. And we think that that's the best way forward. But you can't just show up and demand things. You have to be able to engage in an intelligent conversation. You have to find out what these people are about. Do they know what they're doing? Because we expect them to be educating us as well as we them.
Mm-hmm. Felicia and Aaron on the other side of the room here, the mayoral candidate thing, that's a good sign of things to come, I think, isn't it, Felicia?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm really excited that we're, you know, as a group, we're reaching out to the representatives and getting them into town. These two, of course, are already local. And, you know, just knowing that it went so well is such a wonderful feeling. So I'm hoping that, you know, as we reach out to people, more and more representatives will come in and have these discussions with us, and will also hear us and hear what we have to say about the distribution of taxes and what we need as a community.
Yeah, and we just want to try and help, you know, make people better informed. You know, that's a big goal of the group, better informed on, you know, a whole host of topics relating to economics. And, you know, having these mayoral discussions is a good step, you know, facilitating those events and, you know, hosting other candidates as well.
Where you get your information from, that's also a hot topic these days, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And that's why it's good to get information directly from the source so that you aren't hearing things secondhand or third hand. You know, when we host the mayoral discussions, then you can hear it right from the person themselves. And you can also have the opportunity to ask questions directly to the candidates so that you get a direct answer from them.
It's an important year in 2024, isn't it, Felicia?
Yeah, absolutely. We've got a lot going on.
Lots of, and the big election in November as well.
Yeah, big election in November. I think a lot of things happening locally as well. Definitely a good year to be opening those dialogues, I think.
Looking to make a difference too, Aaron.
Yes, and just, you know, raising awareness and, you know, getting these topics, economics, on the minds of voters so that they're thinking, okay, you know, what is in my best interests and what are these candidates talking about? Are they, you know, and also, like, for the record, you know, if they're already in office, are they following through on what they said they would do? You know, is their voting record in my best interests or not?
Holding them to task, then, in other words.
Yeah, correct.
Yeah. These two work in the school system, Dale, as well, and that's been a hot topic lately as well, school funding and whatnot. How do you see it?
Well, I think that, again, I want to underscore the principal purpose of this group is equity, and we're talking about taxation as well as distribution of money that government takes in. You'll notice none of us have mentioned guns or abortion or any other issue that is commonly thought of as a wedge issue that divides people. Now, I'm not saying those aren't important issues. They're very important to many, many people. But they tend to divide us and distract from the basic economics that, you know, tend to rule our lives. And while we hope people will continue to, you know, participate in their political parties, will make the important points that are important to them about these wedge issues. But we hope we can get people united around the economics, because the more money that we have here locally that doesn't leave here through taxation or comes back here through AIDS, enriches everyone, makes for better services, for happier times, less tension. And, you know, I think a lot of kids do go to school embarrassed by what they don't have often. And we have a very generous community, and I appreciate the efforts that have been made by the Lions and the Kiwanis groups locally and many other agricultural groups that try to enrich our youth's lives. But we need to have more base funding. And it's hard sometimes for our local elected representatives to speak up and be forceful, because they're afraid that if they do that, they'll be ignored. Because it's, frankly, too easy for people who represent a large territory to blow people off. And so we see a very real role for ourselves to support local government, to make certain that we have adequate library funding, that we have child care, that we have health care. These are services which in many cases are not luxuries, they're necessities. And they're something that in many ways touches all. And we want to communicate to people that we believe we deserve nice things too.
You'd be the first to admit, Dale, that it's not easy being in politics. Is it harder today than it was when you first started?
Well, I don't think so. I think there's always been a sense politically, what is your job? Are you there to do what you think is right, or the ideological bent that you have because of your political affiliation, or are you there to represent people? I would argue it's both. And how you make that decision really begins with listening well. And I think sometimes you're able to sell your ideology because it's an answer to people's needs. Sometimes you should be smart enough to realize that it isn't meeting people's needs. And then I think you have to make a decision. I always felt my principal job was to represent people, and that meant I had to listen to them. And sometimes, you know, that's not very pleasant. but you do it because it's the job, and then you go and do the best you come you can and come back and explain to people what you did and why. And I always felt that I had wonderful access here at this radio station to, you know, listen to people and to tell them what I was up to and what I did. So I would, to answer your question again succinctly, I don't think it's harder. I think we've just sort of lost our way, and we're hoping by setting an example locally that people will take heart and begin to participate. And when we all act as one, as a community, I think we're going to have a lot greater impact than we've had in recent years.
I was thinking back to the teachers were protesting, and you didn't win a lot of popularity with your own party back then.
There was a time when both sides wanted to recall me, and when people would jump me about that, I said, I told people I would go listen to folks. And if I showed up and told them I'd already made up my mind and this is what I thought, what would they have thought of my listening skills? And I think that if you want people to open up to you, you have to truly make yourself a little bit vulnerable and demonstrate you listen. And yeah, there were a lot of nights when I got an earful from 600-700 of my closest friends and times in between. But you know what? Those are the times that force you to be your best. And I'll always remember those and cherish those experiences.
What would you do, though, in terms of, you could wave a magic wand for education and, you know, better funding for schools and per students and things
like that? Well, I want to be clear. I don't think there's anybody in our group that is against tax cuts. We want to make sure that we have one that's a little more progressive, that takes care of the people who have the greatest needs right now. And that means that we would be willing to accept some tax cuts for people who have, you know, a little greater means at their disposal. But we want to see more money plowed back into the equity of distribution so that we have a base level here in our community that equals what, you know, maybe Dane County or suburban Milwaukee counties or Fox Valley communities have. And that's what I would aim for. I want to see us offer the kinds of services here that provide us a good quality of life.
How's the best way to hold representatives accountable?
Well, you know, it's not something that any one person or any group does. It's really a collective action, and we feel like education is a critical part of it, proposing solutions, and then let people make up their own mind, and I think things will go well. You've got to give them the truth, the freedom to discuss it, and then I think things will go well. We had a famous newspaper publisher once made that his masthead.
The morning show continues in a moment. Economic Equity Now. Our guests in the studio, Dale Schultz, Aaron Detman, and Felicia Detman, and we'll return with more in a moment. On our morning show today, Economic Equity Now, our subject. We're learning about it and the things that they do and what they look forward to in the future as well. Aaron Detman, Felicia Detman, and Dale Schultz are here to join us in studio. We've talked about some of the things that they have done. And Felicia, you have some things coming up this week as well you'd like to talk about.
Yeah. So April 4th at the Phoenix Center, we have Rebecca Cook, the 3rd District Representative candidate, coming in. She'll be there from 5:30 to 7 in the evening. So if you wanted to stop by, be able to chat with her, listen to what she has to share. Mm-hmm. And Aaron, did you have...
Yep, and we have another event happening today, in fact. It's more just kind of a come-and-talk event with Todd Albaugh. From the Todd Albaugh Show, and also Sage Wheel, who is the new owner of WRCO. And they're just coming, and they just want to have a community discussion and see what people are thinking and just, you know, come and talk. And I heard that they're going to have free cheese curds there.
Oh, that's
so
a
we'll
good
see.
Deal. So that's a little bit later on today then.
Yep, and that's from 6 to 7:30 at the Phoenix Center today.
Mm-hmm. So it's outings like that, and those are some of the things that you want to look at moving forward for your group, Aaron.
Yep, we're just trying to, you know, raise awareness, just, you know, get the community more involved and just have a lot of discussions and see what people are thinking. And, you know, just learn from the community, and hopefully, you know, we also have some insights to share as well.
And you're planning on hopefully some of these throughout the year then coming up, right?
Yep. And the Patriotic Millionaires Group, they've been meeting about every month at the Phoenix Center. And at first it was, you know, the Patriotic Millionaires talking to the community. And then, you know, the community would ask some questions. But now that it's the Economic Equity Now group, now it's, you know, community members that are the driving force. And we're just trying to figure out, okay, you know, we're taking control, we're taking the reins, you know, what is best for our community? What can we do to help raise awareness? What can we do to facilitate discussions? You know, what can we do to have discussions?
For the speakers, Felicia, during the sessions last year, if you saw them in the street, you probably wouldn't realize they were millionaires, would you?
No, not at all. I was a little bit, I was surprised by that, because you went in and there were some people up in the front. So you're thinking, okay, these are the folks that are going to get us started. And they weren't. They were the main speakers. These are people that have wealth a lot of us couldn't imagine. And you would never know it. They just wanted to, they're very community minded, wanted to have an equal part in sharing their wealth with the rest of us, which is why they started this, to have more progressive taxation so that they could contribute the way the rest of us did. And they were just so humble and so lovely to speak with. I was always very impressed. Felt like they were very approachable, and it was very informative. They made sure that, I mean, these were very big discussions on, you know, taxes and loopholes that, as a teacher, I am not very familiar with tax loopholes. I wouldn't know anything about it. And the way that they broke the information down was very accessible. They were just a joy to meet and work with. So I would highly encourage you, come by today if you're able to meet Sage and Todd. They are just wonderful folks.
One of the things, too, is, and Dale pointed this out, too, is CEOs and the amount of money that they make, Aaron, and as opposed to somebody who's working two or three jobs just to feed their family.
Yep. And, you know, one thing that we learned is CEO pay right now, they're making, you know, 600 times the median salary of their workers. 30, 40 years ago, that wasn't the case. You know, 30, 40 years ago, it was maybe 30 times the median salary of a worker in their company. So CEO pay has just exploded exponentially. And I know, just looking at it, like, I find it hard to believe that one person is worth more than 600 other workers.
Working in education, as you both do, you know, there's something not right with, I think, you know, teachers should be among the highest salaries. I mean, that's my humble opinion.
Yeah, that's, you know, up to each individual person.
I'm not going to disagree with that.
Yeah.
But it is true. I mean, that's, you're working on our future here, you know?
I think if you go anywhere else in the world, you'll find that people who really say they value education put their money where their mouth is. Many, many places, the Scandinavian countries come to mind, where they really do invest in their future. And we have to do more than just mouth the words here.
Yeah, I think what's...
Well, I wanted to say, like, definitely investing in teachers, in aides, that is very important. But there's also something to be said. We need curriculum. We need resources. I need supplies for my classroom. I think our district, and again, speaking as a citizen, we do a great job with technology, but there's lots of school districts that don't have equitable technology access. And kids are growing up in a world where they have to know how to use technology. And these are things that, yes, again, teacher pay is part of what we'd like to see change, but there's much more to education and the need for funding. These kids deserve the same resources as these bigger schools, as private schools who might have rich donors. They deserve this, and the only way we can make that happen is if everyone's contributing their fair share.
Yep, and I think that's the bigger point, is that you don't want to punish kids or students for the lack of something, for their parents' lack of money or the parents' lack of availability if they're working two jobs. You know, because kids, they don't have much autonomy over themselves. They don't have much say. They're kind of at the mercy of the adults in their lives, their parents or guardians. So I just think supporting kids is so, so important. And I know the Wisconsin legislature and Governor Evers, they were able to agree on a tax cut to help with child support. That was one of their compromises that they were able to agree on and they were able to reach. And so I think that was a terrific that they were able to compromise and find some common ground.
Talk about economic equity now and, you know, your kind of view of tax cuts and how that should happen.
Yeah. And, you know, we're not against tax cuts. Not at all. I just think, you know, we're in a progressive tax system. Nationally, we have a progressive tax system. So we just need to make sure that the steps are correct and that they're working for us. I know, you know, Patriotic Millionaires, they're more nationwide focused. But, you know, if you look a little more inward and a statewide focus, you know, I think our legislature and the governor, they've been compromising. They've been getting closer and closer to finding out a solution that they agree on. You know, at first, the legislature proposed tax cuts for everybody, including millionaires. That got vetoed. Their most recent proposal was a tax cut for people making $40,000 to $150,000. So, you know, I think it's getting closer to finding a solution that works for everyone. Now, that did not pass either. But I think maybe part of the reason that it didn't pass is because, you know, when you look closer at that proposed tax cut, someone making between $60,000 and $70,000, that was only about a $200 tax cut, whereas a millionaire, that was about a $900 tax cut. So it's like, so there was that disconnect of, wait, why are millionaires saving $900, whereas someone making $60,000 is only saving $200? Why are we giving millionaires more savings?
Yeah, it's a messed up system.
Yeah, and it's because of the marginal, you know, of our tax brackets. Because even millionaires, they're taking full advantage of that tax cut from $40,000 to $150,000. Whereas someone making $60,000, they're only able to take advantage of that tax cut from $40,000 to $60,000. They aren't making more than $60,000, so they can't take advantage of the tax cut on the rest of that bracket. Whereas millionaires, they can take full advantage of that $40,000 to $150,000 that they're making, that first $40,000 to $150,000.
What's your take on it, Dale?
Well, the first thing that I would point out is we're still sitting on billions of dollars in Madison. Why are we sitting on billions of dollars? Because politicians see the opportunity to curry favor with certain classes or certain classes of donors, and that's how they finance their campaigns. And I think many of us are tired of that. You know, we don't have anything particularly against people who do well. I think we all share that American dream and want ourselves to do well. We want our children to do well, and we want our community to do well. But that means we would like people who are in Madison or in Washington, D.C., looking out for the whole community in a system that makes sense for all of us. And, you know, that's the way I see that issue. There is one other thing I wanted to come back to because we mentioned it early in the show, but we didn't really give it adequate coverage, and that is this whole idea of issue forms. Tonight is a perfect opportunity to sort of show up and float some ideas. You know, we've sat around and thought about what can we do some forums on that the public would be interested in that would help us be better citizens, help our representatives do a better job of representing us, and educate our representatives and ourselves. For instance, environmental issues. There are a whole host of serious environmental issues that aren't getting the attention that is needed. These forever chemicals, PFAS. We didn't do very well in the legislature this year. They passed a bill that the governor said was so inadequate, he vetoed it. He wasn't going to let people go and claim they did something like they did on the well bill a few years ago. We have, you know, a beautiful community, a beautiful state, and it's something we should all take pride in, and I think historically we have. But lately we've sort of stepped away from a role that previous generations had carved out for state government as a guardian of our natural environment. And that's something that I think we all ought to sit down and talk about. Agriculture is a hugely important issue in this area, particularly when you look at the number of processing jobs or manufacturing jobs here locally. The Foremost Farms, Schreiber, Alcam. These are good paying jobs, family sustaining jobs with benefits. And if we don't have milk production here by a declining base of farmers, those jobs are going to disappear. And we have to be smart enough as members of the community to say, what can we do to strengthen that segment of our society and understand it more? A forum on agriculture and dairy processing would be hugely important for us. Let me just give you an example. I was up over the holidays getting some cheese from my friend Sid Cook up at the original Carr Valley plant, which is just a short drive from our farm. And I ran into Sid, and right away he was talking about new federal rules for his drivers, which were making it impossible for him to get adequate numbers of drivers. We need to have discussions where these kinds of issues bubble up so we as a community and our representatives can go to work and make a difference for these industries. And you can go industry after industry, issue after issue, talking about all of these things. And I know there are people out there listening who say, you know, come on, there's something else here that we need to talk about, and we'd like to see a forum on it where people would actually come and present some good information, and then we'd have a chance to discuss it. And I think, you know, that's what good citizenship's about. It's what representative government is supposed to be about.
Patriotic Millionaires Club, this is Economic Equity Now, is an offshoot of that, Dale, and I guess we should go back to, they chose Richland Center, they chose Richland County initially, and I think we should be kind of proud of that, shouldn't we?
I think we should be proud of it, and I think it's our opportunity to show that this is a better approach than plowing money into commercials that we all hate. Even though I know they pay for them in radio stations like this, I know all of you well enough here that you really don't like some of the commercials that you're asked to run, and in many cases, you've had to pull them. And I know you'd rather spend your time participating in the community and facilitating a quality discussion. And to me, that's the essence of good government.
Indeed. Yeah. We're only hearing the tip of the iceberg right now, but as November approaches, we're going to hear even
more. And if we do a good job here, maybe we'll see this approach taken in community after community in Wisconsin. And think about this. If you listen to the national news, you know that Wisconsin is probably the preeminent state in this upcoming election. I'd like to see us Badgers put forth a role and a model that other states can emulate. And think of it, we're right in the vanguard of that effort. If we do a good job, I think it will catch on.
Indeed. Where do you go from here then?
Well, I've got two of events today that I have to participate in before I go to tonight's, opportunity to have some cheese curds and talk about issues that are important to me. And in between times, I have to figure out how we get the farm stood up and ready to go this year and help my wife with the yard work, which she's kind of wondering where I've been lately.
That time's coming, isn't it?
It certainly is. I've been brushing out roads and raking the lawn, and there never seems to be an end to the list my wife makes for me.
Richland County is a great place to live, though.
It is a fabulous. Lee Dreyfus, a former governor, used to say Wisconsin was a 23rd Psalm place. I always thought he was talking about our home area, and it certainly is a 23rd Psalm place.
We'll come back with a final word on the morning show coming up next about Economic Equity Now. Wrapping up our conversation in the community today here on the morning show from WRCO, Economic Equity Now, with some events coming up. Felicia Detman, anything in conclusion that you'd like to add today to our conversation?
I think really it just boils down to this is a group effort. This is a grassroots effort, and we would love to see more people come to these events and join the discussion. It is meant to be a dialogue. And I think we have a great base right now of folks that have joined us. But the more, the merrier. The more people we can get, the more perspectives we can get, the stronger we'll be. this is really a community effort. So feel free to stop by. We'd love to see you there.
Is it safe to say, Aaron, that these are people you may not have met, you may not have hung out with otherwise?
Yeah, I've met a lot of new people here in Richland Center that, you know, I never saw before. I did see a few returning friends, but, you know, it's great just to meet new connections, meet new people. And yeah, as Felicia said, you know, please come on down if you don't have anything going on tonight. Please come at 6 o'clock at the Phoenix Center just to have a discussion with Todd Albaugh and Sage. And, you know, meet some new people, maybe meet some new friends. And, you know, we just want more people. There's a lot of smart people here in Richland Center. And the more minds you have working on a topic, the more people you have working on a topic, the more progress and momentum you can get and the more change you can enact.
Yeah, and you're hoping for that to continue, more meetings. And it's just because you've organized this, it's not a closed group. I mean, people can join anytime they want, right?
Yes, exactly. People are welcome to come anytime they want. There's a Facebook page called Economic Equity Richland Center. There's also an email list that you can get on. You know, we're always looking for more people to join, more people to help think of what we should do next. Mm-hmm.
Dale, I know that tomorrow's election day, you'd like to see people, as many people get out and vote as they can, right?
Absolutely. It's a fundamental tenet of our system of government, and I've always felt that we ought to be doing everything we can to make it as easy for people to vote, and I lament the fact that we don't seem to do a very good job, but fortunately, we have outstanding election officials who have managed to put up with a lot of nonsense from Madison and who have made it, a system that is worthy of emulation anywhere in the country. And I think we can be very proud of our local officials. I certainly intend to vote, and I want to encourage everybody, whether you agree with me on any given issue or not, vote. Let your voice be heard. And I think when we do that, things will go well.
Good opportunity for people to get out there, and I know you'd welcome people's questions. If you see them out in public, you like to stop and talk. That's one of your favorite things, isn't it?
We can't do it in the voting.
I don't mean that.
Outside that, but you know, other than that, I'm always delighted to chat about things.
Awesome. Thanks for coming in, all of you, today.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Economic Equity Now. Listen for more announcements from them about upcoming maybe some forums, some community things that you can be involved in. Aaron Detman, Felicia Detman, and Dale Schultz joining us on The Morning Show.
Hi, I'm Steve Fuller, currently a Richland Electric Co-op director and have served since 2012. Obtaining knowledge and continuing education are of the utmost importance to me and our Richland Electric Cooperative. Safety, reliability, sustainability, and affordability are the core objectives which are very important guidelines used by Richland Electric Co-op. Solar implementing, succession planning, and the untimely COVID event were critical parts of the team delegations I participated in. I, Steve Fuller, would appreciate your vote and support on the upcoming election. The April 13th, 2024 annual meeting will begin at 9 o'clock a.m. sharp. Be sure to mark your ballots and sign your envelopes. All ballots are due by 4 o'clock p.m. April 12th, 2024. Thank you.